Please open your Bibles this evening to 1 Peter chapter 2. I've really wanted to bring something tonight, really along the same lines of what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, and I don't want to overdo that theme, but it's something I think the Lord's speaking to us about. I thought if we could find another place that speaks in a similar fashion to the things we've been talking about, how do we live in the world? How do we conduct ourselves? What do we need to know and be aware of? That it could well be helpful to us to further explore that. And so the Lord's bringing us to 1 Peter 2 tonight, and I'm going to read to you the first 12 verses of this passage. So let's listen to God's Word. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to Him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a royal you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. I was very much struck last Lord's Day evening as we had an opportunity to have Daniel and Natalie Ferris here and see the pictures and hear the stories. Just a little bit of what it means to be an alien and a stranger, because that's kind of a pretty good picture to remember what they're going through, what the team in Sudan is going through, living in that foreign culture. Now, I don't know if you remember Natalie telling the story, and I've forgotten how many times now, but she said when she would get on her bike and ride to the next village, how many times did she say she's riding along, here comes the white woman, here comes the white woman. This is, you know, she's advancing along. You know, she's so different. She's so alien, she's so strange that, you know, she just would stand out, as would everyone on the team there, living different colored skin and different language, all of these things. They were living in that kind of way. This idea of an alien, and we're talking this morning about these different Greek words, but paraoikos is the word. It's that same word we were talking about. We talked this morning about the parakletos, para, this word alongside or next to. It can be translated by something or near something. That's the same prefix. It's on this Greek word, to be by something. The oikos in this case is a house. So this word that we translate as alien literally means to be by a house or to be near a house. And so we translate it as an alien, as a stranger, as a sojourner, a foreigner. But the idea is someone who lives in a place but doesn't really have the right of citizenship in that place. They don't really belong. They just kind of come near the place and get close to the place. And so that's the idea. Same idea with the word that's stranger here. Same prefix. The para is here as well. The root word is doumos, which means people. So the first word is to live by a house. The second word is to live by or near a people. That's what it means to be a stranger, because we come next to people. We live right by them. And I was thinking a little bit about Lot. Remember when he saw the valley and how beautiful it was? And if you follow the progression back there in Genesis, what Lot did was he just kept getting a little bit closer to the people. He wanted to be near them. There's something attractive about that. So first he moved into the valley, and then a few verses later you read that he set up his tent right outside the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then, of course, eventually he got inside the city. But this idea of coming alongside, getting next to it, getting near a group of people, that's the idea of being a stranger. So now we're here in the New Testament, and you know, God is calling us aliens and strangers. People who have come alongside the world, if you will, come alongside this place, and we're dwelling here, but we don't really belong. We don't really have our citizenship in this place. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we have a different citizenship. You look up verse 9. This is what Peter's trying to tell us. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Once you were not a people, now you're the people of God. Once you hadn't received mercy, now you have received mercy. So we have a different citizenship now. And that's just a pretty biblical way of thinking about who we are. In fact, Paul adopts that very kind of language in Philippians 3:20. He says, our citizenship is in heaven. So now there's been this transferring of our citizenship. And that really, if you think closely about it, that's the essence of what it means to become a Christian. It's not that there's a change in our behavior, and so we are Christians, but there's a change in our citizenship, or maybe think of it this way, a change in your nationality, your whole new nationality now. You have a whole different place where you belong. Now, certainly change in behavior follows that, but the thing that is at the heart of it is our sense of where we reside, where we belong, where our citizenship resides. So what Peter's trying to get us to do is to think of ourselves as a pilgrim. You know, someone is living in a land that's not our place of citizenship. And so the question then is, what do we need to know about this world? If this is our status, if this is how we ought to view ourselves, what do we need to know about it? And this is where Peter gives us some helpful insight. First of all, he wants us to understand that as an alien, a stranger in this land, not everything in the land where we're living, not everything among the people where we live or next to this place that we've come to reside, not all of it is good. Not everything is good. That's the essence of how he begins verse 11. I urge you as aliens and strangers, abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Not everything is good in this land where we have come to live. Pharisees were telling us last week, you know, when they've got this nice well that they've dug, they've really provided this well for the community that they live in. And the natives there, they come pump the water out of the well, they take it and they drink it right there. But the aliens and the strangers, the missionaries, they have to take it back to their tent, they have to pour it into a filter, they have to filter out the water before they can drink it, because it'll harm them. It's not good for them, and they're not able to take on the things that come naturally to those who are citizens of that land. And, of course, if you've traveled much internationally, you know, you just know that's standard fare. You drink bottled water, you boil fruits and vegetables, and, you know, you just take care, because we're not used to living in that kind of way. Peter wants us to recognize there are things in this strange world that we live in that are not good for us. And he tells us in a broad way what those things are. Things that come from fleshly lusts. These are the things that we have to watch out for. Living as an alien and a stranger means that we have to learn to recognize what these fleshly lusts are that seek to entangle us. That's why Peter says in verse 2 that we ought to long for the pure milk of the Word. God has given us something that we can digest, something that we can naturally take into our body that's not going to hurt us, that in fact is going to do just the opposite. It's going to help us. And it's the Word of God. It's the Word of salvation. And that Word, rather than harming us, he says, will help you grow, will help you mature, will help you be fed and nourished in the way that you ought to be nourished. So not all things in this world are good, but as citizens of a different place, a different kingdom, we are free from the bondage of those things in the world. We're holy, we're a separate people, a chosen people, we are a royal priesthood. So he gives us all of these descriptions of us, all designed to show us that we've been set apart. And that we have been set free. Being set apart is the same as the idea that we're set free from these things, that we are to be holy. We are not to engage in things that are filled with lusts of the flesh. So you want to know about your freedom from sin in this world, then a lot of places, of course, you can go to discover that. Romans 6 is a great place. We're not going to go into that tonight. But there you can learn that if you're united to Christ, if you've died with Him and been raised with Him, then you do have freedom. We talked about that in Galatians 5 in our call to worship this morning. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. This is what the cross does for us. This is how it sets us apart, so free from these things. So to live as aliens and strangers then means that we recognize that not everything in this world is good, and we're to put away sin and we're to walk differently than those around us. So that's the first thing. Second thing that we need to know is that not all the people are friendly. Not everything is good. Not all the people are friendly. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on this because this is really what we've talked about here the last couple of weeks. We're going to find persecution, as Jesus told us. The world is going to hate us. The world is not going to receive us. As soon as they recognize that we have a different citizenship, that we have a different orientation, that we're not going to buy into their way of eating and drinking and all of those kinds of things, then the world is going to set itself against us. So what Peter tells us is that as we sojourn in this world, we're to persevere in our godliness. Your excellent behavior is how verse 12 starts. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. That can be a powerful, powerful tool in softening and turning the hearts of unbelievers, as well as, and this is again something we've already been seeing and studying, is proclaiming His excellencies. And it speaks of that here, in the ninth verse, that we proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called us out of darkness into this light. Too often we think of our witness for Christ as simply being some kind of a formal gospel presentation. But I think one of the flavors that you can get from this particular part of the New Testament is that simply our living in this kind of way, especially when we identify with Christ in any kind of way, if we identify with our citizenship, when we talk about our homeland, so to speak, that's in essence what it means to proclaim His excellencies. So, you know, it doesn't mean you have to have an evangelistic Bible study, as we mentioned this morning. It doesn't mean you have to be involved in the jail ministry and be formally teaching the gospel in that kind of a setting every week. It can mean that. It's worthy of considering that. But it can also simply mean that you're going to identify with your citizenship and that you're going to be upfront about that. And you know, if you interact with international students in and around the West Lafayette-Purdue area, yeah, they just talk about their country. They want to tell you about their land, and we typically want to hear about those things. And we just simply, as Christians, need to talk more naturally about our homeland, about where our citizenship is. And as we do that, what the Lord says here is that some of them are not going to take it very well, but some of them are. And Jesus, of course, said the same thing. So one other thing that we need to know about living as aliens and strangers, and that is that not everything is valuable. Not everything is valuable. When you go to another country and you travel around, one of the things that you'll notice is that countries really want foreigners to spend their money. They really want you to invest in their land. And in fact, depending on what country you go to, there are a lot of places that exist for the sole purpose of selling foreign trinkets to foreigners, to people that come in and visit. That's a big thing. It's a big way for money to be made. But the idea is that the visitor will want to take a piece of that country home with them. And so the challenge if you're traveling is to find something that is valuable. You know, how do we determine what is valuable? As we live and walk as aliens and strangers in this world, it's not that there isn't anything valuable here, because this world belongs to the Lord. He's redeeming it. There are valuable things here, but it takes discernment to see the difference between what is good and what is evil, what belongs to Him and what is in the realm of the world. And so we need to be looking for those kinds of things. And this is simply part of what happens as we grow in Christ, as we learn to invest the things that God has given us. Where are we going to place those? And this is honestly a great challenge for us in the church today. Where do you invest your time? Where do you invest your energy? Where have you emotionally invested yourself? What are the things that excite you? What are the things that capture your attention? First, you need to identify those things, and then you need to evaluate those things. Are these of God? Do these have purposes in the redemptive plan of God? To what end does this bring glory to God? Those are the kind of questions that any maturing Christian just needs to train himself or herself to be asking on a regular basis. And I want to challenge you to do that as we come to the Lord's Supper. Really, it's a supper of commitment. You know, it's a supper where we're evaluating, am I sold out to Jesus Christ? Where have I put myself? What have I given myself to? And it's a time where we say, Lord, I want to give myself to You and to You alone. So the Word of God's valuable in that process. We talked about that this morning. This is what the Spirit has given us to help us see what is good. We need to learn to say no to things. We need to learn to give up things. When we realize that we're investing in things that are not valuable in the eyes of the Lord and in the kingdom, we need to be ready to give those things up and remember that our citizenship is in heaven. So these are a few thoughts that I know they're very similar to the kind of things we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. But just fascinated by this idea of being an alien and a stranger and living here, being placed here by God. And now what the Lord does is, we live in this world, there are times when He just brings us together as a family of God. And He ministers to us. Of course, worship weekly and daily is like that. But the Lord's Supper, in a very special way, is a meal that He gives us, where He pours out grace upon us, where He gives us that what we need to continue to grow in that grace and to serve Him with all of our hearts. Psalm 101 is the psalm we're going to sing at this time. So if you'll turn there, please.